On this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, we find ourselves at Alice's house in Phoenix talking about her tomatoes. Good morning, it's Rosie on the house.
Good morning. I have several plants of the big tomatoes, and I don't remember which variety I bought, but almost all of those big ones are splitting. What's causing that?
Well, we have intense sunshine and dry air, and you know, it just kind of tends to split tomatoes here. There's not a heck of a lot you can do it other than that shade clothing that we do, not so much to protect the plants, but it will reduce some of the splitting on tomatoes. And it's just a little bit of an inherent problem when you when you grow those great big varieties here, because we just have so many hours of pretty intense sunshine and very low humidity. You will usually find that the ones that are further back under the plant, that are shaded more by the vine itself, are less likely to split. One thing that can cause it is irregular watering and fertilizing. If you have too inconsistent, sometimes let them get a little dry and then you water them good, that can cause that shrinking and expanding to be too drastic. That can add to it, but most of the time it's just a condition of our environment. And you know, in most cases, you're just not going to win the prettiest tomato contest. They're still fine. They're edible.
Still eat them.
Yeah, I think sometimes I think we can grow some of the ugliest tomatoes here, but they're still good eating.
Right, and then also I tried growing corn before, and I never got any corn on the cob. So I tried it again this year, and they're all up and stuff, and with the wind. I understand, I looked on the internet how to self-pollinate them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm trying, but my corn still looks very little, and with all the wind, I don't know if they've gotten pollinated because the wind is just beat everything to death here.
Well, the wind actually helps pollinate, but the mistake most people make with corn is they plant, you know, just one or two long rows of it instead of planting, you know, multiple rows or more of a block or a clump of corn, because it, you know, it's harder for it to get pollinated if it's just in a couple of long, narrow rows.
So, I have three rows, and I have about 30 plants in there, so I have three rows of them in a block, like a square.
Okay. Well, that certainly will help. It sounds like you might, you know, if the corn's still pretty little, you might even be a little late. You know, corn now should be, in fact, they're starting to harvest sweet corn now, you know, in the valley, the guys that grow it. They start that, you know, back in February probably, and it's up and being harvested by the end of May. So it's kind of a real critical timing thing. Corn probably isn't the best thing for a home gardener with a little limited space to try and grow. It takes a lot of space. It takes a lot of water. And quite frankly, you can buy really good sweet corn pretty cheap. So,
and like you said,
you can go see Mark Freeman over in Mesa and buy really good sweet corn here. And I don't know, maybe this weekend or next weekend.
Oh, last time Julie was in, when we covered corn, she brought it from there raw, and we were just eating it in the studio
right,
raw.
Yeah, not even cooked.
Oh,
yeah, sweet as sugar. Yeah.
But you can follow the Arizona Corn Trail from now until about October from Maricopa County up to whatever county Snowflake's in. Was that, that's not Greenlee yet, is it?
Snowflake
Navajo. Mm-hmm. Up until about the end of October. We've got plenty of corn.
Yeah.
So let's get to Frank in Tucson next on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, good morning, guys. You guys are fantastic. I love listening to you. Listen, I got a dilemma here. For Mother's Day, of course, I have three beautiful daughters, and they all brought these lilies. They like these lilies for my wife. Now, I'm pretty good with bushes, flowers in my backyard. It looks pretty good back there. But we went away for a couple of days, and I came back, and we put the lilies out on our patio, and I watered them before I left. But they look kind of peaked. I'm just wondering, how delicate are those? And my wife's telling me she read some time back something in the newspaper where you take the bulbs out and put them away in the refrigerator till next spring. I never heard of such a thing.
Okay. Well, there are certain bulbs that you have to do that with, like tulips and hyacinths and some crocus and things like that that have to be chilled for the come. But lilies, typically, and there's lots of different kinds of lilies, so it's hard to tell you for sure that they probably don't need refrigerated. They're going to have to be in a pretty shady, protected area. But there are lilies that will come back, even Easter lilies. I had an Easter lily plant that came back for several years, but it was in, you know, a pretty deep, shady place. So I would probably take them out of the pots and find a good, shady spot in the garden to plant them rather than trying to keep them alive in a pot. That would be my advice.
We appreciate the call, Frank, and good luck saving those lilies for Mama. And we've got Nancy on the line next, and an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We'll hear with you every Saturday morning for 29 years. If you've got a landscape or garden question, now is your time to call in.